One of the hardest parts of getting older is feeling like something's off in your body, but not knowing exactly what. It's not just aging. It's often your hormones, too. When they fall out of balance, everything feels off. But here's the good news. This doesn't have to be the story of your next chapter. Hormone Harmony by Happy Mammoth is an herbal formula made with science-backed ingredients designed to fine-tune your hormones by balancing estrogen, testosterone, progesterone, and even stress hormones like cortisol. It helps with common issues such as hot flashes, poor sleep, low energy, bloating, and more. With over 40,000 reviews and a bottle sold every 24 seconds, the results speak for themselves. A survey found 86% of women lost weight, 77% saw an improved mood, and 100% felt like themselves again. Start your next chapter feeling balanced and in control. For a limited time, get 15% off your entire first order at happymammoth.com with code NEXTCHAPTER at checkout. Visit happymammoth.com today. And get your old self back naturally.
For a limited time at Verizon, you can get our best price ever for a single line. Just $45 per month when you bring your phone, which is less than you spend on too tired to cook takeout every week. Get one line on unlimited welcome for $45 per month with autopay plus taxes and fees. Visit your local Cleveland Verizon store by April 2nd to save. $20 monthly promo credits applied over 36 months with a new line on unlimited welcome. In times of congestion, unlimited 5G and 4G LTE may be temporarily slower than other traffic. Domestic data roaming at 2G speeds. Additional terms apply.
This episode and the entire year of episodes is proudly brought to you by California Cryobank. Use code LOVEISLOVE for a free level 2 subscription to their donor catalog and start making those families, y'all. Let's go.
The Queer Family Podcast. Love is love.
Within the first week of the election, we kind of had a family meeting because my 17-year-old had just got their driver's license.
Oh.
And in the state of Massachusetts, you can have X as a gender marker. And we had done that because it was like, why wouldn't we do that?
Right.
And we had a family meeting because we were either going to be doing the same thing with their passport, and we decided to go backwards.
Oh, wow.
And it makes me really sad.
Yeah.
And I know how lucky we are that, like, of all the things, that's the thing.
Welcome, welcome, welcome to the Queer Family Podcast, y'all. The show all about family, but with gay. I'm your gay host, Jamie, and this is the show that highlights, celebrates, uplifts, and normalizes LGBTQIA families in all of our beautiful identities and in all the beautiful ways we show up in the world. And I am recording this here intro in my house during our winter break. Kids are off from school. My wife is off from school, and she just walked in the door, and I'm looking at her now, and she's trying to be stealth and not be heard. But anyway, y'all know what it's like when your kids are off from school for a week and you don't go anywhere, but you stay home. It's mayhem, I tell you. Life is mayhem. Beautiful, chaotic mayhem, but we're making it through. Hope all y'all are having a great February in these cold months that never seem to end. I'm not jaded or bitter at all. I'm not tired of this cold at all. Anyway, today's episode. Oh, this is a good one. So Rachel, now, you know, I try to keep all of our guests in the LGBTQIA community because I feel like we should be the ones to talk about our community. But Rachel is an exception. And actually, Rachel is a member of the LGBTQIA community by default, which you will find out. This conversation is really, really wonderful because in these politically charged and trying times we find ourselves in, I find myself having a very hard time having these difficult conversations with people who don't seem to get how hurtful this regime is to especially the LGBTQIA community, especially the trans community. And I find myself getting exhausted saying the same things over and over. I feel like a squeaky wheel, and I bet many of you feel the same way. And many of you probably don't even know how to talk to the people in your life about how scary these times are for you. So this episode is just kind of a way for us all to kind of get into community and hear two people who are on the same page preaching to the choir to each other about how can we talk to the people who don't get it? How can we have these conversations? What do we do? And how are we going to get through the next however long we're in this weird land we're in without losing it and without becoming so frozen in fear that we do nothing? So it's a really great conversation. I'm excited for you all to hear it. And I'm just going to roll the tape because I got kiddos at home and a wife at home and a dog that needs to get under my covers. I have given up even making my bed at this point because the dog just gets in and messes it up. Yes, I let my dog sleep with me because I have a heart. Anyway, all right, let's roll this. What'd you say, Anne?
Weak.
A weak heart. I have a weak heart because I give in to my dog. And I don't care. And my wife does too. We like cuddling with our dog. Is it a crime? Anyway. Okay, we got to roll this tape because my brain is all over the place. I love y'all. I hope you enjoy this episode. Keep keeping yourself safe and do the things you need to do to stay sane out there. Love you. All right, let's roll this tape. Gerson, Helen, Helen and Beulah are here too. But, you know, they just sit in the corner and smoke and drink whiskey. Just sitting over there smoking and drink. Can you ladies get up and do something useful for a change? Can you roll the tape for me, please? Thanks so much. They're not real. I don't have assistants. It's just me and my wife, who begrudgingly is quiet during recordings. Okay, roll that tape. Roll it.
Queer Family Podcast. Love is love.
Hi, Rachel.
Hi, Jamie.
It is wonderful to have you here. We have already been talking before I hit roll tape, and I was like, wait, I need to record. I need to record. We're getting too much good stuff here. So, Rachel, I'm really excited to chat with you, and I think that you're going to offer us all some nice insight and actionable items, hopefully, that we can take to go forward in this political regime we find ourselves under in these trying times. So, okay, that was like such a veiled way to introduce who you are. So you know what, Rachel, let's just get right into your 30-second elevator pitch, who you are and why you're here talking to the Queer Fam Squad. I'm going to put the timer up. Here we go. On your mark, get set, go.
Well, hi, Jamie, and thank you so much for having me here. My name's Rachel Holstein Lowe. I use she, her pronouns. I'm a gender diversity expert. I'm a parent coach. I'm a very proud mom of two. I'm in the Boston area, and I am here because I really want to elevate the stories of trans kids and the people who love them. That's why I'm here.
Boom. That was way under. That was 21 seconds, Rachel. Good job. Give yourself a pat on the back.
Woohoo! Round of applause.
Yes. And I'm really excited to
talk to you. I didn't practice at all.
No? Yeah.
Lies. All lies.
Well, I can tell you're prepared. You're one of those prepared folks, way better than me. I show up totally unprepared and hope it's going to work out, but you're prepared and I appreciate that about you. But I'm really excited to delve deep because with the world as it is right now and this rightist regime coming at us and really, really attacking our community like it's their job for some reason right now, specifically the trans community. And the most marginalized amongst our trans community, our children, and our Black and brown trans brothers and sisters and everyone in between. So I'm really excited to talk to you, being a mother and an expert on how we can move forward and how we can keep ourselves healthy and sane and all the things. Can you just give us a little background story into how you got into being the expert that you are and the helper that you are?
I will tell you that sometimes I'm still very uncomfortable with that word expert, but you know, I mean, you're always growing, right? You're always evolving. You're always learning. And that's really part of the journey, honestly, is like realizing what boxes one is still living in and doing the work. Mm-hmm. My journey started as kind of going way back to my family of origin. So my dad came out as a gay man after marrying my mom, divorcing my mom when I was 18. And I was I grew up in Omaha, Nebraska.
Oh.
So imagine my dad coming out as a gay man in 1989.
Oh, whoa.
Yeah. So that was quite a time. That was quite a time. We could do a whole interview on that for sure. What that meant for me early on is what I really have seen is kind of walking with a foot in two worlds. Mm-hmm. I'm a cis hetero white woman. That is who I am. That is the life I lived. I have a lot of privilege because of that. But having a gay dad, particularly at that time and in that place, in that geographic location, really brought into my world things that I would not have otherwise had known anything about or need, or in many ways could have chosen not to know.
Yeah. And I'm wondering, what kind of things are you talking about? The backlash that he experienced as well as his life?
The backlash he experienced, what does it mean to be out? Who's safe? The idea of code switching at that time. There was so much fear around AIDS. I mean, that was just the height of, it was like you came out and then you immediately said, I'm negative.
Yeah, right. And people still didn't want to even touch
you. And people still didn't want to, you know, come anywhere, like literally come anywhere near you.
Not so there was the
There was fear about whether or not who in my immediate group of friends and people could I talk to? Could I talk to my mom? Right? Could I tell my mom about it? There's so much secrecy.
Yeah.
And just touching those things in ways that there's no reason why I would have touched any of that.
Kind of catapulted you into the duality of life that we face as queer individuals.
It did. And I don't want to in any way suggest that I know what that is as a queer person myself, but I think there is something the proximal location of me being the kid, I think is really significant. And fast forward then many, many years on, post-college, deciding to go back to graduate school in social work, getting my social work degree, starting my career as a therapist, all of that, and choosing a program very deliberately that really embraced diversity, that was absolutely paramount to me. And, you know, choosing between psychology and social work was also, I mean, it's a whole professional thing, but social work has a real commitment to social justice. And that was, all of that was really, really, has always been really important to me because of the life I've lived, and I've seen my dad and people around him.
Yeah.
Live. So when I started my practice, it was really important for me to be very vocal about wanting to take queer referrals. And I was one of very few who was marketing that explicitly, which is crazy because it's 15 years ago.
It's not
This is not ancient history.
I know. It's really not.
And it's Boston.
You live in Boston now. You don't even live in the Midwest anymore.
I don't. And I haven't for a long, long time now. Yeah. But I hope I'm not getting too much in the weeds here in terms of this backstory. But that was really important to me. And what that meant over time is that not only was I getting kids who are dealing with sexual identity issues, but who are also dealing with gender identity issues. And what I realized very quickly is that, there's more I need to do to be trained up and be really knowledgeable. And I did that. And I've been doing that work. I've had that. That's really been a niche of my work now for about a decade. And then roughly 4 years ago, I'm the mom of two. Mm-hmm. And my eldest, who's now 17, came out as non-binary.
Oh, there you go.
And what are the chances that here this self-proclaimed gender diversity expert is raising a gender diverse kid? So clearly my professional and my personal commitments and passions have absolutely collided, aligned in crazy, profound ways.
Yes. Totally. And, you know, I'm sure that there are people on the right who'd say, well, she raised her kid to be that way, all the things. And I'm sure that that's been something in the back of your fears here and there, too. Like, if my kids come out as gay, I know what the backlash is going to be. You did it. You made them that way, which is ridiculous. We can't make our children be anything other than what they are.
I mean, the line that you hear so much, and it's so true. I mean, you can't make your kid make their bed. Like, seriously? Like, it's crazy talk.
It's bullshit. But And I also want to talk about just how kind of your dad's coming out and you being kind of, like I said, catapulted into that world. And then, you know, your child's gender metamorphosis, shall we say?
Yeah.
How the two kind of mirror each other, just given the political landscape that you and your father were living in during that time with the AIDS crisis, and now where we are with this complete anti-trans, make them villains, make them freaks kind of thing that's happening now. It's like two, like, what is it, sliding doors, like parallels that are happening.
Yes.
Just years apart from each other in so many ways. But it's the same playbook. It's the same shit. It's just a different day.
It is. It definitely is. I know, Jamie, that I'm experiencing it as a parent very differently than I experienced it as a kid.
Can we go into that? I'd love to hear.
Well, just my sense of responsibility, right? My sense of like, I have to do something.
Yeah.
And I was already committed to that work, having done this work with these kiddos in my professional practice and these families. You know, my heart is absolutely there. But when it's your own child, it's your own family, you know, like you don't get any higher stakes than that. There's just no way. And it is astonishing to me how awful it is.
The rhetoric, the
legislation.
Yeah. All of it.
I've really been struggling about how to respond to this flurry of executive orders, right? And I just wrote a piece to try to wrestle with that, comparing ADHD to gender diversity.
Yeah.
And the point being of like, in 1990, if you had a kid with ADHD, very likely you are going to get some real shit from your kids' teachers, administrators, after school programs, piano instructors, like because your kid was hard to deal with and they were seen as a problem. They would get bad marks. They would probably get detention. They were going to be labeled a problem kid. And then something really, really dramatically changed, right? Yeah. And as the numbers of ADHD kids has climbed, in large part because we just recognize it so much better than we used to. And we have treatments that are accepted by and large, not universally, but by and large. It is no longer seen. These kids are no longer seen as a pariah.
Yeah.
And there's really this beautiful movement because ADHD falls under neurodivergence of really seeing it as different as opposed to better or worse.
Yeah. And also sometimes even a gift.
And sometimes even a gift, right? Seeing the gifts of the ADHD brain, right? I know I'm preaching to the choir, but that choir is also really huge, right? That choir is massively huge.
Yes. And I think we need to preach to the choir and we need to continue to speak about this stuff and find our people so that we understand that we are not alone. Because we were talking about this earlier about how even I, here in New York City in Chelsea, I feel like I'm on an island alone sometimes with the parents in my district. So I think we need to preach to the choir to find our people and to reiterate the message and let our people know, no, you're not alone. We all feel this too. Keep speaking out. Let's go. Because nobody else is going to do it for us.
Nobody's coming to save us.
No, definitely not. I kind of the opposite. So
no, the opposite.
It's
the
game
opposite.
Time. So ADHD, things drastically changed in regards to ADHD. You were continuing.
We know that the rates of incidence of gender diversity have had, I would in no way a similar stratospheric growth, but it is growing. The common, you know, in the field kind of explanation for that is that as queer identities in general have had more traction, more societal acceptance, then it's just a safer, right? It's a safer environment to present and to get care in spaces that it's no more prevalent in some ways than it has ever been, but it's safer now to say so.
The representation begets more representation, basically.
But then what we're seeing, which is the complete opposite of what we saw with ADHD, is that there's this humongous stigmatization going on. Like I didn't know this. Like I knew that things had gotten bad in the last 5 years. But what I didn't realize was that there was not a single anti-trans bill banning trans-affirming care for minors in any state before 2021.
Oh, really?
That's crazy.
It is crazy. And how quickly it's grown like wildfire.
Now 26 states have bans.
Yeah, and it keeps going, and it's mm-hmm. getting worse because the people on top are saying some horrendous stuff about us all. I remember in 2016 was the first time we heard about the bathroom situation. Like that, it was like 2016 around then.
Yeah.
Maybe 2013, because I remember my wife was getting inseminated at the time at the fertility doctor, and our fertility doctor chose that moment, or maybe it was me. One of us was.
One of them.
That's such a lesbian story. Wait, was it me getting inseminated or was it her? I don't know. But one of us was getting inseminated at the doctor. And our doctor chose that moment to talk about this whole bathroom banning and how he was completely for it and started going into this whole time. He knew we were lesbians. Started going into this whole tirade about how you don't want men coming into your bathrooms. That's the craziest idea. One of us was sitting in the stirrups. I can't even remember who. I'm so shocked that he even said that to us. We didn't even have the wherewithal to say anything in the moment because it was all such a new, it was such new rhetoric for us. Yeah. And it was all just so new. And we knew we were on the side of letting people go into the bathroom where they wanted to go. But it was like, we didn't have the skills to even argue our points at that time because it was so long ago. I remember that. And then, until 2021 is when it really started making its headway. That is insane, Rachel. Like,
what it is insane.
What the hell is happening?
What the hell is going on? Well, we know what's going on, but it is shocking. It is shocking. Yeah.
Yeah. So as a mother of a kiddo who is non-binary, how are you navigating it, like personally, and how is your child doing? I have a nephew who is so scared because he's trans, and they had to do the past. They did the name change before he got sworn in. Orange Cheeto Man got sworn in just in case.
Yeah, yeah.
But now they're afraid to censor. They don't want to show the passport because it still has the old gender marking. So they're afraid now. Like there's so much fear. So how are you navigating it personally?
Like I said, I'm physically located in Massachusetts, and I do not take that geographic location for granted. It's a big deal.
It is.
It's a big deal that we're here. I mean, the first thing that comes to mind, partly because of what you were talking about with your nephew, within the first week of the election, we kind of had a family meeting because my 17-year-old had just got their driver's license. Oh. And in the state of Massachusetts, you can have X as a gender marker. And we had done that because it was like, why wouldn't we do that?
Right. Right.
And we had a family meeting because we were either going to be doing the same thing with their passport, and we decided to go backwards.
Oh, wow.
And it makes me really sad.
Yeah.
And I know how lucky we are that, like, of all the things, that's the thing.
Right.
You know, like, there could be a lot of other things.
But true.
You know, my kid could be on T and we could be really worried about whether or not they could stay on it. And they're not. There's a lot, right? There's a lot of other things we could be worrying about.
Acknowledging your privilege, yes.
That kind of shit breaks you. I mean, why do I have to think about that? Why? But as my kiddo is going to graduate high school this spring, plans on attending school out of state, and will be in a purple state. Oy. And, you know, all of that matters.
It matters a lot. And I'm scared for you. I'm scared for your child. Like, just going through this world right now that just, it seems okay to hate on people who are not the norm.
They're just living their life, and they are the most normal.
Yeah.
Senior. I mean, they're just.
They still don't make their beds.
No. I mean, they do.
They do. Oh, you got one of the good
there's
ones.
There's plenty of other things. They do make their bed. So it's funny. I actually use that example because, well, their brother doesn't. But
okay.
But they're so normal. I mean, they're just a geeky, awesome, just the kindest, hardest, smartest, you know, going places kid who Why do you care?
Why do you care? Why do you care? Why do you care? And just the fact that your child and countless others have had to do something like stifle who they truly are just because somebody up top or many people up top are deciding that hatred wins.
So another example of that, Jamie, I have a brand new client in my practice who's 6 years old. Cute as a button. Oh, my God. Oh, my God. I feel lucky that I get to spend time with these sweet peas. Anyway, this sweet pea and her family are going on an international trip soon. And their passport has their gender as assigned at birth.
Yeah.
And name.
Oh.
So we had time spent in our session talking about practicing what that was going to be like.
Oh, my God. Because they, right? Sometimes, you know, you go up to customs and they say, what's your name?
Exactly.
How old are you?
Exactly. We know that's what they're going
to
do.
And so this child's going to have to.
So they need to be ready for that.
And this child's 6 years old.
This child is 6 years old. So,
oh my God.
We talked about it as like, you know, it's like they fortunately have had some theater experience. So we talked about it being like, you know, you're playing a part.
Yeah.
You're playing a part, but also spent a lot of time talking about, you know what? That's a piece of paper. It's not who you are.
Yeah.
It's just a piece of paper.
It makes me so sad. Oh my God.
I mean, let's just multiply that by however many numbers and it's ridiculous.
It's ignorant people not understanding that these people are just showing up as themselves and you just need to accept who they are. And then forcing six-year-olds to go undercover.
Yes.
To be stealth.
To be stealth.
To mask mm-hmm. who they are. If that's not a recipe for, you know, their rhetoric is that these people are all mentally ill. I'm doing quote unquote, and I want you to, like, I don't believe any of this crap.
Yeah. Yeah.
But the rhetoric is these, that we're all mentally ill. We're all crazy. We're all freaks.
Beautiful freaks.
Yeah. Beautiful. Yeah.
Let your freak flag fly.
Listen, I love my freak flag, but I don't like anybody mean saying that to me, you know? And
yeah.
To force little six-year-olds to be stealth and to mask their true identities, that's a recipe for
it is
mental illness down the line. Like if people can't see that, there's something seriously wrong with them. And it makes me angry.
The root of the rates of depression and anxiety, yes, are astronomically high for these kids. But the cause is not gender diversity. The right. cause is social.
Yep.
It is how society views them, maligns them, legislates against them. That's why.
Oh, it makes me angry. And I just saw a clip. Laverne Cox speaking recently where she was basically
love her.
And she was saying, if you can, you need to be stealth. If you can, if you have the ability, be stealth right now, which is so heartbreaking. And also
from her.
Yes. Because she sees, you know, how dangerous it can be for trans.
Yes, she knows.
Yeah, and gender nonconforming and gender diverse folks to live right now, especially when the president, I can't even believe I just called that man the president, when Orange Cheeto in his opening speech said there are from now on two genders. That's it. Like you really took the time in your speech say that right now? That's important to you? That wasn't in your agenda that your constituents voted on, as far as I knew. Like, what the actual, what is happening? Oh, I'm so angry. I could go on and on.
I know.
It's just really scary to think that we seem to be just rolling backwards in so many ways. We'll be right back.
Family podcast, love is love.
Whew. All this talk about the state of the world has really, really got me thinking about sperm banks. I'm kidding. I need a second to share my promo code I have for you with California Cryobank, my favorite sperm bank in the whole world. The sperm bank where I made my babies. And the sperm bank that many of the guests I've spoken to made their babies. They are really doing the work for the LGBTQIA community. They offer so many wonderful things for our community. They offer donor keepsakes, which we pull out. Wait, my daughter just pulled it out last night, actually, because she wanted to know something about her heritage, because she was insisting that she has heritage from a country that she doesn't, and she was trying to prove it to us. She was wrong, but it's nice to have the keepsake anyway. And they also offer letters for second parent adoption if you need them, and many other things. And they have this wonderful donor sibling registry of their own with bulletin boards where you can join community. You can be in chats with community right there in their website, which is a really wonderful perk as well. So if you are interested in building your family with sperm, donor sperm, you might want to go check out cryobank.com and enter code LOVEISLOVE for a free level 2 subscription to their donor catalog. Doesn't hurt to go check it out. See what they've got. You never know. You might find your donor. All right, go check them out. Let's get back to the episode. Love y'all. Let's go make the babies and then come tell me about them.
For a limited time at Verizon, you can get our best price ever for a single line. Just $45 per month when you bring your phone, which is less than you spend on too tired to cook takeout every week. Get one line on unlimited welcome for $45 per month with AutoPay plus taxes and fees. Visit your local Columbus Verizon store by April 2nd to save. $20 monthly promo credits applied over 36 months with a new line on unlimited welcome. In times of congestion, unlimited 5G and 4G LTE may be temporarily slower than other traffic. Domestic data roaming at 2G speeds. Additional terms apply. For a limited time at Verizon, you can get our best price ever for a single line. Just $45 per month when you bring your phone, which is less than you spend on too tired to cook takeout every week. Get one line on unlimited welcome for $45 per month with AutoPay plus taxes and fees. Visit your local Columbus Verizon store by April 2nd to save. $20 monthly promo credits applied over 36 months with a new line on unlimited welcome. In times of congestion, unlimited 5G and 4G LTE may be temporarily slower than other traffic. Domestic data roaming at 2G speeds. Additional terms apply. For a limited time at Verizon, you can get our best price ever for a single line. Just $45 per month when you bring your phone, which is less than you spend on too tired to cook takeout every week. Get one line on unlimited welcome for $45 per month with AutoPay plus taxes and fees. Visit your local Columbus Verizon store by April 2nd to save. $20 monthly promo credits applied over 36 months with a new line on unlimited welcome. In times of congestion, unlimited 5G and 4G LTE may be temporarily slower than other traffic. Domestic data roaming at 2G speeds. Additional terms apply.
Love is love.
And more part of answering your question about what is my family doing? How are we handling this? I think I will also say, to Laverne Cox's point and others who have said similar, you know, my kid is very cis passing. And we had a conversation very recently and they said, I know that I'm leveraging it. Doesn't hurt me.
Yeah.
Doesn't hurt me at all.
Yeah.
But their cohort are friends who are the, oh my God, they're the wickedest, smartest. Woo! Are they going to change the world?
Yeah. Yeah.
They don't all cis pass.
Right.
And man, do I worry for them.
Mm-hmm.
No, I worry a lot for them.
That's what I was thinking about with your child going to a purple state. Like my mama bear would be like, okay, I'm going to travel with you.
Yeah.
I'll be your roommate.
Yeah. And I just saw before I logged in with you, Jamie, a colleague of mine has developed a webinar just for parents like me, like how are we going to get our kids through the next 4 years?
Yeah. And that's why like people like you are so important, because you're doing the work, you're doing the background work, you're actually educating yourself on it as well as living it personally. And so, you know, your advice and your guidance are actually really important right now. And your voice needs to be amplified and more voices like yours just to help us get all of us get through this, because you can drive yourself crazy. You can make yourself frightened out of your mind if you sit and think about this stuff for too long, which I do way too often laying in bed at night.
It's an easy rabbit hole to fall into.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. So let's kind of and I'm going to tell this story, and actually I'm going to ask my friends if it's okay that I tell this story. I'm going to tell it to you, Rachel, and then I might cut it. So my nephew, who's trans, uses the men's bathroom when he can.
Mm-hmm.
In certain locations, and that's where he prefers to go.
Mm-hmm.
We went to a Broadway show, which can be, you know, I'm in New York. So we went to a Broadway show. So usually most of New York is totally chill and fine, you think. But when you're at a Broadway show, it's full of tourists. from all over the
place. Yes.
And so there was a moment where, okay, is he going to wait in this long ladies line or is he going to just go in the men's room, which is right here? And it was like a, I'm going to go, Mom. Okay, you're good. We're right here. You know, it was like a real intense moment. And then we're like, put your hood up. Let's go. Put your hood on and just keep your head down and go ahead, go. And we were like waiting for him when he came. Like I've never been so scared. And what were we going to do if somebody questioned him?
Right.
Like, well, I know what we were going to do. We were going to throw down.
Yeah.
You're going to get real. I was going to get real on them, yeah. My 4'11" self. Yeah, I was ready to start a fight right there in the theater lobby if anybody pushed back. But these are some trying times and scary times. So, Rachel, what are we going to do to get through it? What can we all do as queer folks and allies and parents to get ourselves and our kiddos through these scary times? And I'm putting my backdrop of me living in Chelsea, my children going to school in Chelsea, and all the hoopla that's going on with these Moms for Liberty, Trumpster a-holes who are on our council, and then me continuing to raise my voice at my school to talk about how, listen, y'all, our PTA vice president votes in line with these people all the time. He is anti-trans, and it falls on deaf ears. Yeah. What are we going to do? How are we going to get through this? And how are we going to get this through to the people that we feel like we should be able to reach and who should really hear us and understand and who know our children? What do we do? Help, Rachel.
I'll tell you what I'm doing.
What are you doing?
What I'm doing, so I mentioned this before we started recording, that I started interviewing parents here in New England about 2 years ago to talk about, just to really elevate their stories, their experiences raising trans kids. And by trans, I mean trans, identifying as trans, non-binary, gender fluid, gender diverse,
the
gender queer, right? The whole unicorn, all of it. And I'm just saying trans because it's commonly accepted as the umbrella term.
Yep.
Okay. And then I expanded that and I traveled through 4 Midwest states, Missouri, Iowa, South Dakota, and Nebraska, my home state, Nebraska, over the summer. I was going back home, right? I was going back. I was seeing family. I was seeing high school friends. And then I was also meeting families I'd never met before to interview and build coalition and build my network. And I had some really transformative conversations. And I would honestly say some of the most intense were with those people I know well, people who I've known since I was 13 years old, or people who've known me since I was born, right? Aunts, uncles, cousins. And I bring that up to say, don't stop having those conversations.
Yeah.
Like there's a lot that we could assume, right? Me being on the East Coast, you being on the East Coast, those of us in liberal states, blue states, that, oh, that's a, you know, that's a lost cause. No, that is where we have to be doing. That's where we have to be having these conversations. So not that I was going in to preach, but I was going in really to like say like, hey, like this is what is going on in my life. This is what is very relevant for me right now. And I want you to know that about me because you know and love my family. But I also want us to have a dialogue.
Right.
And we could. And maybe that is really afforded by the fact that I have these long-standing relationships with these people, but we can't give up on trying to have dialogue. We have got to do that. So where we can listen to each other, we have to listen to each other.
It's so difficult, Rachel. It really is so scary. I'm thinking about the people in my life that, like, I already feel like a squeaky wheel because, first of all, I'm the lady with the podcast, the gay podcast. And I'm always like bringing in the queer mom point of view, you know, oh, here she goes again. Like, you know, I'm like the squeaky wheel, I feel like. So I'm already that. And then for me to keep pushing, guys, do you know what's happening? Do you know? I feel like I'm just this like thorn in people's side. Mm-hmm. And a lot of people, they really don't want to hear it. I have tried to bring up bring these things up with really, really old, great friends. And so many people, I don't even talk about politics. I don't even think about this stuff. Like, I can't even, no, I don't want to talk about this. And I'm like, wait, I'm trying to explain to you how this is hurting my family. And you're, yeah, I can't, you know, so it's.
Well, not everybody's going to listen.
True.
But I will say, I push back with a couple of people who gave me that kind of line of like, you know, I don't pay attention to this stuff. This stuff doesn't matter to me.
Right.
And I'm like, hold up. I matter to you. You wouldn't have agreed to see me if I didn't matter to you. You wouldn't follow me on Facebook. You wouldn't send me updates about your family vacations. You know, like, of course this matters to you because I matter to you.
Yeah. Right.
And this is absolutely active and alive in my life.
Right. Right.
So that, does that change minds? I don't know. But it at least in that moment, my hope is that some penny dropped.
Yeah.
Right.
What I'm hearing is just stay persistent and keep doing it regardless. I had a friend, I had a friend cry to me, don't let this come between us. Don't do this. And I was like, I'm not putting this between us. What? No, you're putting this between us.
Similarly, I had a friend said, well, I think you're just going to judge me. And I'm like, if you can't tolerate what I'm saying, then I'm going to judge that. Yeah. Because that's not, I don't agree with your religious point of view, but you live your life.
Right.
Live your life. I'm not going to try to take that away from you. I'm not going to. Right. Vote against that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I don't have to apologize for my vote in any way, shape, or form. I don't have to apologize to anybody.
I mean, that's a big ask. That's a big ask. But we cannot stop having dialogue.
Yeah, and that's the one thing. This is what, you know, when you're in the diversity, equity, inclusion, accessibility trainings that I hope everybody has gone to and I hope folks continue to go to, regardless of what Orange Cheeto and that whole regime say. These conversations are important because they give you the conversational skills to continue having the conversation. And the more you talk about it, the easier it gets to try to hold space as well as have the tools necessary to explain your point of view under the umbrella of diversity, equity, inclusion, and accessibility. It gives you a toolkit. The more you have these conversations, but it's very scary to have these conversations and it's hard.
It is. Yeah. You don't know quite what you're dealing with, right?
Yeah.
I would also say on a much more intimate person-to-person, parent-to-child level, believe them.
Exactly.
People know who they are better than we know for them.
Yeah.
So
yeah,
whatever it is, I'm going to be the next greatest lacrosse player. Okay.
Yeah.
Believe them.
Truly.
I mean, why discourage somebody from being their most authentic self? And to the naysayers who say, yeah, but they don't really know. They're going to, you know, they said something else last week. They're going to say something else in a month. Who cares?
Yeah.
So? Okay. You know, that's okay.
Yeah, it's okay. How many times have you changed your mind?
It's okay to be on an identity journey. That is really normal development.
And actually extremely healthy and way healthier than your growing up was, Mr. Judgy Pants.
Mr. Judgy Pants.
You know, like, I don't know. But yeah, seriously, if somebody tells you who they are, believe them. What does it matter to you?
Yeah.
What skin off your back is it? Okay. All right.
Okay. My favorite quote of all time is Maya Angelou's, you know, when somebody tells you who they are, believe them the first time.
Yeah, it's one of mine. It's one of mine too.
And just.
Yeah, so right on. Duh. Like, okay, you know. But, you know, this morning my son did ask me, Mom, can I be a Pokemon trainer when I grow up? And I did say no. And now I'm thinking maybe I should have said, yeah, yeah.
Sure.
I said no, because it's not actually real. Oops.
Or lean into curiosity.
Right.
Which, I mean, that's like highly evolved being. I'm not, you know, I know that. I do. I really do. But like, Can we stay with open-ended questions like, tell me more about that? Why do you want to do that? Why is that important to you? Where did that come from?
Yeah, you know. I'm usually better at that. I'm usually on it. But this morning, it was Monday morning and I was in a bad mood.
Yeah.
So, but anyway, yeah. But also, that's not to minimize the situation. And I'm not trying to say, you know, my son wanting to be a Pokemon trainer is anywhere near somebody figuring out their identity. That is not what I'm saying. And I'm not being like the troll who told me.
Oh, God.
When the troll was like, oh, yeah, so you're going to love your child no matter who they turn out to be. Yes. Yes, I am. Duh. Yes. And then they came back with, so if your child's a serial murderer, you're going to love that. You're going to amplify that. Yeah, no, that's not what we're saying either. That's not what we're saying.
No.
I'm saying go forward in love, a-hole. And leave me alone. Yeah. If somebody tells you who they are, believe them. And I think that all of us, if we have the ability to use our words and to fight and to spread love, we should be doing whatever we can to do that. And finding the tools necessary to do that is really important. So having these conversations, continuing to have them, even in scary situations, is also very important. And know that, like you said, Rachel, hopefully like even a penny's worth, which is pennies are now not going to be made anymore, apparently.
Oh, is that right?
Yeah, that
because they're meaningless and worthless.
Yeah, that was this morning's. I think he tweeted that during the Super Bowl of all times.
Wow. Well, he had a lot of his mind.
Even a worthless penny's worth of information, if even you're able to relay a worthless penny's worth of information, it will have been worth it. That's my takeaway here. And it's so nice to know that there are moms out there like you who are really doing the work and showing up for the queer community, because it's going to take all of us to fight this fight. We're not done. Do you have anything else you want to add? I want to leave the floor for you. And I know you have a book and all the things.
I'm writing it right now. I hope it's done by the end of this year.
I hope so too. I know it's tough.
It's a big undertaking.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
But yeah, I'm doing a variety of things. I've just started offering some online coaching for people all over the country, which really came out of those interviews and the writing of wanting to meet a larger swath of people's needs.
Mm-hmm.
So that's a program really intended for parents of gender diverse kids who are needing an unbiased voice, who are needing some really specific support around their own, right? There's the kids coming out, there's the kids' gender journey, and parents can be very, very different. And some of that is about helping a parent kind of get a better basic understanding of what any of this even means. Because often this is the first introduction.
Right.
Right. Going back to this point of, well, I never had to pay attention to this before, so I didn't know anything about it. And it also is very common. My case is no different, I think, than most, that this thrusts lots of parents into an advocacy role that they had never planned on having because of the world being what it is.
Yeah.
That they've had to take up things with their school districts and their healthcare providers and God knows what else, their faith communities, their immediate families.
Yeah.
On behalf of their kids. So really wanting to give space for the grief around that, the pain of that, but also some structure for what those conversations might look like and some examples of some other people who have gone before them.
Yeah.
To offer some inspiration. So that's a program I just launched in January.
That's great.
And excited about that.
As you were speaking, I was thinking also the outrage surrounding all of these realizations that not only am I learning about this whole nother world that I knew nothing about, if you're a parent of a kiddo who who discovers their identity and you're newly thrust into this world, but now being on the starting line and having to fight the outrage that you probably feel, that all of a sudden you had no idea and now you're on the outskirts.
Yes.
And having to fight your way in.
Yes.
And that makes you feel serious anger and outrage and pain and all the things.
Yes.
And we all need places to talk about these things.
Yeah. We are not meant to do any of this by ourselves, right? Parenting is not a solo sport. It is not.
No. Sometimes it feels like it is, but oof.
Oh, man, but it isn't.
It's hard. It is not for the faint of heart. I'll tell you that much.
No, it is not.
Yeah. So where can people find you if they need someone to talk to or they need some guidance?
So people can find me on my website, which is pretty easy, rachelhlowe.com, L-O-W-E. I am currently still on Meta. I will be honest, I'm not sure if I'm going to stay there. Honest. But right now I'm there, so people can find me on Instagram and they can find me on Facebook. I think it's RMH Low is my Facebook handle, and Rachel_Holstein_Low_LLC is my Instagram. And people can find me on LinkedIn.
That'll all be in the show notes as well.
Those are probably the best ways.
Yeah. And you know,
find me. And then I'm writing, I'm on Medium, so people can follow me there.
Yeah. Everybody do all the things and reach out if you need someone to talk to. Yeah. Reach out if you need some guidance, because we need community right now. Y'all, we need community. And I'm kind of trying to make it my mission this season and for the next 4 years to find the community for all of us.
Yeah.
It's go time. It's scary time, but we got each other's backs.
We do. And don't forget how vibrant, active, committed, smart I am. You know, I'm sure we are tapped into some of the same circles, Jamie, and I'm so grateful to step in a larger way into your community by having this conversation with you today. But there are some really, really cool, active, determined things going on within this space that give me a lot of hope. So being in connection, right, is so important, just to like know that, okay, I'm not fighting this fight by myself.
Yeah. Yeah. And know that somebody is always fighting it. So if you need to take a little break, it's okay. Take some time for yourself. And then it's always going to be there for when you get back. So there's that too. But this has been a real pleasure. And I don't know, for me, it's cathartic to have conversations like this with someone like-minded, because, you know, I talk to the moms at school and then it's just frustration after frustration. So
yeah, likewise. Likewise. Thank you.
Yeah. If only I could get the moms at school to listen to my show. Then I wouldn't have to do the conversations on the street. That's what I need to work on.
It seems bizarre to me, but I won't even.
No.
Yeah.
Yeah. This is just besides, I made my announcement about my wife having cancer on the show, but I'm not putting an announcement. It's not something that I'm like blasting to the world. I made it to the show because just in case like shit hits the fan and I miss an episode. But I know how few of my friends actually listen to my show now.
Because nobody said anything?
People did. A lot of listeners reached out and were so kind. Listeners that I don't even know.
Right.
But like friends, you know, my close friends, obviously, I told. But friends that I don't talk to as much, but who are extremely close friends. Yeah, not a word. So that's nice to know. And they're always like, oh, my God, your show. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I see you. So, yeah. Oof. If it doesn't affect you, why listen? If it doesn't affect you, why care? And that's what I seem to be facing a lot lately. If you're so privileged that these things don't affect you, you're not paying attention.
You're not paying attention. And that's, you don't know what this is really about.
Exactly. Exactly. Until it comes for you. And it will. Mm-hmm. And it will. And I'll be here saying, yeah, I know. Mm-hmm. I know. Mm-hmm. Join the fight. Let's go.
Yeah, let's go. Let's do this.
It's crazy. Yeah. It's crazy. But this has been awesome, Rachel. Thank you so, so much. I appreciate you immensely. You're a part of the Queer Fam Squad. Thank you.
Welcome
Jamie.
To the squad.
I'm happy to be here.
Queer Family Podcast.
A huge, huge thank you once again to California Cryobank for sponsoring this here little show for an entire year of episodes. Go to cryobank.com, use code LOVEISLOVE, and get a free level 2 subscription to their donor catalog. Go do it. Let's make those babies and uplift these queer families, y'all. Thank you.
Love is love.
Whew. Well, folks, I hope you enjoyed that episode as much as I enjoyed it. And if you did enjoy it, feel free to listen to another or watch another. I have so many episodes for your listening or viewing pleasure. Just go pick one and enjoy. There's a lot. There really is. And also, if you really do like this show, please, I know I say it all the time, but please do consider supporting the show on Patreon. You're just going to go to patreon.com/thequeerfamilypodcast. You're going to pick a tier, you're going to join, and you're going to get that bonus content. And you're also going to get my love and adoration for the rest of my life. I love you all. Thanks for tuning in. Keep on tuning in, and I'll see you next time. Mwah.
For a limited time at Verizon, you can get our best price ever for a single line. Just $45 per month when you bring your phone, which is less than you spend on too tired to cook takeout every week. Get one line on unlimited welcome for $45 per month with AutoPay plus taxes and fees. Visit your local Columbus Verizon store by April 2nd to save. $20 monthly promo credits applied over 36 months with a new line on unlimited welcome. In times of congestion, unlimited 5G and 4G LTE may be temporarily slower than other traffic. Domestic data roaming at 2G speeds. Additional terms apply. For a limited time at Verizon, you can get our best price ever for a single line. Just $45 per month when you bring your phone, which is less than you spend on too tired to cook takeout every week. Get one line on unlimited welcome for $45 per month with AutoPay plus taxes and fees. Visit your local Columbus Verizon store by April 2nd to save. $20 monthly promo credits applied over 36 months with a new line on unlimited welcome. In times of congestion, unlimited 5G and 4G LTE may be temporarily slower than other traffic. Domestic data roaming at 2G speeds. Additional terms apply.